love running, or maybe you're thinking about starting to run, whether it's for exercise, recreation, or maybe you're getting ready for that local 5 or 10K, join Sean and Jason, two average guys who talk about the sport they love here on the Average Runner Podcast.
Hello, everybody, and thanks for coming back and joining us here at the Average Runner Podcast. My name is Sean.
I'm Jason.
And on tonight's show, we're going to talk a little bit about the TomTom Runner GPS watch, and we're also going to do a little recap of my first marathon at the Buffalo Marathon just this past weekend. But Jason, how are you doing? The last time we recorded, it was shortly after we did our half marathon, and we had talked about the fact that you were sick for that, and you actually performed quite well, and you were sick. And then afterwards, it kind of got a little worse, I think, right? It went into your chest and all that. So how have you been doing since then?
After it went into my chest, you know, I had to take a few days off just so I could get back to breathing properly. I don't, you know, you don't want to run when you're conflicting with yourself to breathe. But so I took, you know, about a week off of running, and then I slowly got back into it, and it, you know, it felt good. I actually missed it, which I was surprised. You know, you start to feel guilty when you don't run. So when I got back out there, I was like, oh man, this feels so good. But you know, now it's the following week, and I'm starting to get another cold, or maybe it's the tail end of the one I had. I don't know, but so we'll see what happens. Well, I guess.
Well, you and I had talked about, I mean, the allergy season is really bad this year. It kind of affected both of us. So I know you had some issues with that. So do you think maybe it's still allergies, or you just think you caught something else?
I don't know, dude. It could be allergies. I mean, you said it. This year is the worst according to the news. And, you know, every time I look, there's crap floating in the air. So that could be it. I mean, I honestly don't feel sick. It's just, I have a runny nose, you know, and that's the last thing you want to do when you have a runny nose is kind of run.
Yeah. Well, I know I had a little stint of it last week leading up to the marathon weekend, and it had me completely freaked out because I thought, you know, I didn't know if I was getting sick, but I didn't feel like I didn't get a fever. I didn't get run down really. It was just, I had a scratchy throat for a couple of days, and then it went away, and then I got a scratchy throat again for another couple of days. And now I'm fine. So I don't know, man. I hope you're not coming down with something else. That would kind of stink, because it's been getting kind of humid and hot around here too. So that's kind of not a good combination.
No, not at all.
But hopefully you get better and you can get out. So have you been, so you haven't really got out and done any runs lately, or?
You know, this week I have not gotten out yet, so that's my own fault. But last week I had a few good runs, so I'm going to finish off this week pretty good, so I'll be fine.
You know, Friday is in 2 days, right? Because I know how you feel about, you told me this week how you feel about running on Friday mornings.
Yeah, but you know, now that I know that this week I didn't get my early week runs in, I'll make up for it. We'll go Friday.
I'm putting you on the spot. You're like, you jerk. Now I got to go out and run. Well, hopefully you feel better and you can get out and do some running. So let's talk a little about, we were going to actually talk about it the last episode and we just kind of overlooked it, or I'll take the heat on that one. But I got a GPS watch a few months ago, the TomTom Runner. And I think there's the Runner, and then there's the Runner Cardio now, which I think has the built-in heart monitor. I'm not totally positive on that. This one doesn't. You can use like a chest strap, but I love it. We both have been using Runkeeper for the past couple years now. We're very strict about tracking our runs and everything, just kind of keeping track. But I just wanted something different because I was tired of being, especially at the races where we're trying to fumble with your phone. Plus now my phone's even bigger. I got the G3. It's like my phone went from like a decent sized little iPod thing, and it got a little bit bigger. Now it's really big. So I don't want to have the armband on. So a couple months ago, I got the TomTom. No reason really why between that and the Garmin. I looked at the Garmin. I think it's the Garmin Forerunner. There's a whole bunch of different models. To be honest, the only reason I bought the TomTom is because I have a TomTom GPS for my vehicle. So I was just like, well, I know the name and the prices were pretty similar, but I'm happy with it. I told you about it, and your wife actually got you a early Father's Day gift, so you ended up getting one. Are you happy with it?
Oh yeah, it's pretty sweet. Once you figure out how to use it, yeah, I love it.
Yeah, you know what? There's still some things in there that I haven't even used. I really just use it. I start recording my run, and you can kind of on the display, you can choose what you're actually viewing. I like to just keep my pace up. In the beginning, I would have my mileage, but pretty much when I go out for my weekly or my daily runs, I kind of do one of two routes. So I know the mileage, but I like to keep track of my pace, and it's actually been kind of helping me run by feel, just by keeping an eye on it and noticing how I feel at that point. So I don't have to use it as much to look at, but, for me, the pacing on it is good, especially when we've been running these races. I mean, when we did the half marathon, when I looked at my splits, they were pretty tight, and that's because I kept just, you know, kind of monitoring where my pace was on the watch. But what is, I mean, what have you used on the watch as far as what's available on it? Or have you just used it with the mileage?
Well, I tell you what, the first race I was going to use it, I was excited because I've been wanting to have something that would help me control my pace. Because honestly, when I go out there, I am all over the place, and it ends up killing me by the end of the races because I'm so inconsistent. So when I got this thing, and maybe you remember, I was trying to figure it out, you know, right before we were going to run, and I couldn't get the display correct to show pace. It had, you know, the time, and it had the mileage, and then they had the time again. I'm like, well, where the hell is my pace? So that first race, it didn't do me any good because I didn't see anything different than what I was used to normally.
And so was it driving you nuts the whole time?
It was. It was driving me nuts because I really wanted to see it. So I ended up having to come home. I had to get online and like research how to change the display, you know, and finally I got it. So you can have the pace up in one corner, the mileage in the other corner, and then the time, you know, in the center or however you want to set it up. But so now it's awesome. I go out and I'm like, okay, first mile, here's where I want to be. This is, you know, where I'm going to hold it, and it works pretty sweet.
Yeah, that is the nice thing. You can kind of, it does have a major, like the major display, the larger one, and then it does have two on the top, and you can kind of choose how you want to show everything. But I just really like it because I don't have to worry about the phone anymore. And the nice thing about it is too, if you are someone like Jason and I who like to use like a Runkeeper, or any of the other, well, let's see. So I know for me, over the years, I've tried like a ton of running apps, and you can actually sync it with Runkeeper, MapMyRun, and MapMyRace, I think it's called, something like that. Strava, Endomundo, and I think there's one more, but I can't think of it. Plus, there's actually a TomTom application as well that you put on your phone, and that can kind of sync together. But there's a Cradle, it hooks up to your computer, and you set up through the TomTom application on your computer. It kind of, you can set up syncs with all those different applications if you want to still keep track with those. I've been using Strava a lot, and I kind of like that application. I guess the best way I could describe it is like, it seems more social than say a Runkeeper. People can give you kudos and, you know, kind of like a like. You follow people, you see people's run. So it's kind of interesting. You can comment and stuff like that. So I've been liking that. As a matter of fact, on our website, on the right-hand side, on the sidebar, it'll post like my last five Stravas. So I threw that on there. So if you're listening and you're on Strava and you want to follow each other, go over there. You can find me. But yeah, it's just nice to get away from the phone thing, because I've been actually running pretty much without music lately, and I think you said you've been kind of going that route as well.
Yeah, basically, as soon as I got this watch, I figured I'd try it one day without bringing the phone, period, which was nice because I didn't have to worry about setting up my headphones or charging them the night before, and then, you know, in the morning, I would sit there and wait for RunKeeper to pick up the GPS. And then once that picked up, I would make sure my music was playing. Then I put it in the armband, and then you get out of the house and go, you know, with the watch, I just put it on, you know, wait for it to pick the GPS up, which is like, you know, 30 seconds, and I'm out the door. So it was pretty nice.
Yeah, nobody's texting you or calling you and on your watch, because I know you have forgot at times to turn your volumes down when we do a race. As far as the battery on it, I'm completely happy with the battery life on this thing. I just did the marathon and I came back and I still had I think I had a little more than half a battery left on the watch. So happy with that. It stores a ton of your runs. You can't manually delete them, but I mean, I'm not really concerned about that. The size of it, what do you think as far as the size of the watch? Is it too big, too small, the display?
You know, I really have no complaints on the size. I think it's, you know, it's definitely a little big if you were going to use it for a normal watch. You wouldn't want it to be this big, but for what the function you're getting out of this, I'm okay with the size. What do you think?
I actually think it's not too bad, but I also am the guy who will buy a $10 digital watch at Walmart just because I'm going to bang it up anyway. So it's probably about the same size of those that I've had. And I tried wearing it as an actual watch at times, but I was like, I got to take this thing off, because I know how I am. I'm pretty rough on my watches. So it sits on the cradle by the computer, and I don't really wear it as a normal watch, but I like it. I don't mind it. I don't think it's like ugly. It's just the one I have. It's black. And it's cool because too, it pops out of the band, and you can buy, if you wanted a colored band, a certain color, you can buy different colored bands for them and stuff like that. So
mine came with an extra band.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
What color?
It's the band that I have that I use is black and gray. And then the extra one that it came with is black, and it has kind of like a turquoise color.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Mine's all black except for the little strap where you put the extra band. It's yellow, but, so I love the thing. I mean, I know some people can get really crazy about their watches, but I think for people like you and I and you know, just average runners, it's a great watch. Again, I don't want to say it's better than the Garmin. I never had a Garmin. I just went with it. I knew the name and I've had their products. So, and I think I paid about $110 on Amazon. It is the older model. Like I said, I think they have the TomTom Runner Cardio and then the TomTom Multisport, maybe, that you can use for swimming and biking, which you could use this for that as well. It just will always register that you were running. So if you're going out biking and you're, you know, riding at 16 miles an hour, it's going to tell you that you ran at 16 miles an hour. So, I think that's the only difference. So, all right. Well, I'll have a link for that as well in a picture of that watch in the show notes. So I guess we'll give that 2 thumbs up, right, for the TomTom Runner?
Definitely.
All right. Okay, so why don't we move into the big weekend I had been waiting for. Before we get into the expo, because you actually went to the expo with me, I will say that the days leading up to it, as I talked about, I felt like I was having some allergies, thought I was getting sick, so I was in complete panic mode. For the same reason you were talking about why you haven't been running, you know, you don't want to be running, especially 26 miles, when you're all congested. So I was in panic mode, but I woke up the day before the race, the day of the expo, actually, and I felt fine. So thankfully I wasn't sick. I think I was just mentally exhausted by that point. My nerves were shot. I had still been getting up at like 20 after 4 and running every day. So I think I just had enough. So I took 2 days before and I just said, I'm not running at all. I'll be done. I'll relax. I think I went out maybe 2 or 3 times early last week, just to keep the legs, you know, keep them fresh and moving and everything. So, but yeah, so we went to the expo, which was at the Buffalo Convention Center. So we had to go downtown. You were nice enough to pick me up, take me down there. What did you think of that? Was it what you thought it would be?
It was. I thought it actually would have been a little more crowded. Maybe it was just based on the time of day that we went. But, you know, it was kind of cool to see the booths and the different products that people had to show. And then, you know, the other things that we saw walking around. And
Yeah, because we got there, I think, around 3:30, maybe something like that. So,
yeah.
And the expo was from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. So I think we were at a time, like you said, that wasn't really all that that busy. I think it might have picked up after, because they were having like the pasta dinner, which I didn't do that. I could imagine it was a little busier in the morning, but it was our first time at something like this, so I was kind of excited to go to it. And you weren't running in the half or the full, so I was like, look, man, if you want to just go and see how it is. So that's why I had you go down with me, and I thought it was cool. I mean, we weren't really going there to shop. I had to get my race packet and my bib. But just from the stuff that I did kind of look at generally, the pricing seemed like you could get some good deals on some things, and other things seemed to be kind of normally priced. But if you were in the need to have something, for the next day, they probably would have had it, you know? But yeah, it was actually pretty cool. We went over to the Ragnar booth, and we kind of touched on that last episode, but we didn't really explain. So for anybody that doesn't know or isn't familiar with the Ragnar relay, they're done in different spots across the country. And I believe it's like a 200 mile relay race.
Plus or minus, yeah.
Yeah, so I guess depending on what the course is set up as. Now, we've never ran one before, but we've heard of them. And I actually talked to the people at the Ragnar booth at the half marathon, but you were sitting at the table trying to just get your composure. So you actually got to go over this time with me, and we talked with the guy. And it was pretty informative. He had a little like a binder, and was showing us different maps that would show different, you know, legs of the race that you would take. And so basically, you get a team of 12. Generally, you'll get two vans, I think. You can do, they call it an ultra, so you could do it with six people, but then you're running more. And basically, so you have like two vans, two teams, and each person has to run, I think they said, three legs, and it's three. Different.
Yep.
Yeah, different distances depending on which leg you're on. And it's nonstop. It's, you know, it starts at I think they said it's 30, like usually like a 36 hour race. And you camp outside or sleep on the ground, or sometimes they have gymnasiums that the town will let you crash at and stuff like that. So it's a relay, but it's really cool. If you go to, I don't even know if it's ragnar.com. I'll put that in the show notes as well, but you can see some kind of videos on it. And even on YouTube, some of the teams take videos, but it just seems like such a cool thing to do. And it's a race, but I think it's more just a race to see if you can accomplish it, you know?
Yeah. I think it's just for the experience, really. I don't know too many people that I've seen so far that go for a time, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you probably try to get, you know, set a specific time or a general area of what you want to finish at, but it just seems like a fun thing. And from, you know, what I've heard, it is, you meet a lot of good people and stuff like that. So I'm hoping maybe it's not going to happen this year. There's one, we're in Buffalo, New York. The Adirondacks are, how far is that from us? Like four hours or so?
I think
east.
Yeah, maybe 4 or 5 hours. Cause let's see, Syracuse is like 2.5-ish. So it's probably another two past there. So.
Yeah. So, I mean, the Adirondack Mountains aren't all that far from us, and they're doing the Adirondack relay. I think it's in September, but I'm hoping maybe we can throw some sort of team together by next year. If not a team of 12, at least a team of six. And then they even said at both the booths when I asked about that, you can pretty much go on the website and say, hey, I'm looking for some more runners for a team, or kind of match up with some people. So we'll see what happens. I don't think, Jason, you're particularly sold on it yet.
Yeah, I'm getting there. It sounds like a cool thing. I mean, how hard can it be? I did a Tough Mudder. Let's do it.
Exactly. I mean, I want to try to, I mean, I'm 40, I'm not old, but I'm not getting younger. I want to try to experience as much as I can running until I get to, before I get to that point where I'm like, all right, I can't really be doing all this stuff. So we'll see. Maybe next year we'll get something. I already have a couple guys in mind that we could start a team. So
you never know. Next year we might have a buildup of so many listeners that some will come this way and, be on our team.
Yeah, you never know. That would be awesome too. Yeah, if you're in the area and looking for some teammates, drop us an email. That would be cool. Anyways, we did that, but then we were getting ready to leave. Now, I had told you there was someone I wanted to listen to speak, and our timing was perfect. Like I think he was on for maybe 2 minutes before we got on there. And who was that?
Bart Yasso from Runner's World.
Yeah, the mayor of running. That was such a good talk. He's just like such a cool guy. He's experienced so much. His stories are, I think, uplifting and I've heard him interviewed a few times on some other podcasts, and I heard some of the stories that he told, but even the ones that I had heard before, he just has a way to just craft the story in a different light. It's not like, oh, I've already heard this. Like, it just really pulled you in. And some of them, the stories I hadn't heard before, but what did you think of that talk?
I thought it was pretty inspiring. I mean, it made me want to, I want to go different places and try these runs and different races and run with different people. And it was pretty exciting actually listening to him,
Yeah. Like you said, it's very inspiring. And his speech, it wasn't about necessarily what he has done. It was more of the experiences that he got from the things he done, from the people that he got to do these things with, It was really good. I honestly wish the talk would have been a little bit longer. I think he was only on for about maybe a half hour tops, I think. But he would, and then he took some questions from the audience, and then even when he was done with that, he said, "Hey, I'm going to hang around if you want to talk to me personally." I really wanted to get a picture with him, but when I look back, there's already probably 8 people around, and I was like, "Ah, forget it. I'll get him at the finish line." But that didn't end up happening, anyways. But that was definitely a highlight of the expo to be able to see him, because I had already planned on trying to go and hear him. But I'm like, yeah, I know how my scheduling is at home. Just like we always say, busy lives and everything. I didn't think I'd really make it, so I was very, very glad to be able to listen to him. So maybe next year I can get that picture and maybe have a little talk with him, one-on-one, because he's very, very open to just talk with people. He is a really, really nice guy. So that was good.
It's a good thing I talked you into waiting until I was finished shoveling mulch before we went up there.
Yeah, exactly. Because I think his first talk was at 9 a.m. and I knew I wasn't going to make the 9 a.m. I was actually doing yard work myself that day, because I was like, I'm probably not going to want to do any yard work the day after I do my marathon. So I thought I better take advantage of it. And it was pretty nice out too. So marathon day, got up real early. And I had been, like I said, I'd been nervous for a few days, and it was weird, man. It was the morning of, and all that nervousness was like gone. It was just pure excitement. Like, I just could not wait to get downtown, and got there at a really good time. Our buddy Steve, he ran the half marathon, and he drove us down. We got there, I think we had about 45 minutes to spare. Beautiful weather. I was not concerned at all as far as where I wanted to get into the starting line. And because I kind of had an idea. I wanted to try and get in. I kind of wanted to finish under 4.5 hours. I didn't know if that was really going to happen, but that was kind of like the goal I was going in with. So I thought, and Buffalo Marathon is a Boston qualifying race. So it kind of doesn't really matter where you start, because it's a chip time at the start, Matt. So even though I my finish time was like 4 minutes slower than what my chip time was. But it's really, I mean, the chip time is your start and finish. You know what I mean? So I didn't care. I started probably about 50, I'd say about 50 yards behind the 5 hour pacer, because they have pacers at this run, which are people that run the race. They have, it looks like a big dowel, like a stick, and they'll have a sign and it'll say, you know, 5 hours, and that's for the full marathon, and then like 2.5 hours for the half marathon. So if those are the times you want to come in at, whether it's half or full, you want to stick with that group. So you kind of go over by that pacer. They had a 420 pacer, a 430 pacer. I don't remember after that. I didn't get up any closer to find out what the other times were, but, race started, and, I knew to go into it at a nice, easy pace. And so I think my first mile, I don't have it written down, but it was like 11 minutes something. I felt comfortable with that. Second mile, was like 10 something.
And then all hell broke loose.
Well, I kept looking at my watch and I was like, all right, it was like anywhere from like a 9:10, I think, all the way to a 9:50 pace. I was going, I felt really good. I wasn't trying to go that fast, but, I mean, long story short, I did not stick to my game plan. My game plan was to stay over 10 minutes, closer to maybe 10:15, 10:30. For some distance, just to try to conserve a little bit more, and hopefully I would have had a little bit more in the tank towards the end. I don't know if I necessarily would have come in any faster. I just think maybe I would have felt a little better at the end. You know what I mean? If that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. I know what you're saying. You might have finished with less burnout, really. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but I think there was about 8,000 people. Something like that, 7,500 to 8,000 people, both marathon and that's marathon and half marathoners, which all start at the same time. And we ran the same course with the half marathoners. And then at a certain point at the end, they went straight and we turned right. And then it was like a ghost town. I mean, it was like so many people. I think about, I'd say probably about 6,000 were for the half marathon, I think. I think the numbers I looked at was, I think, 1345 for the full marathon. So the rest was half marathon and relay. So you had relay runners in there too. So you'd have teams where people would do, I think it was 6 mile legs. I think that's what they would do. But as far as how many people they were, maybe it was because I was set back. I mean, I was still in a huge crowd of people. Don't get me wrong. I just wasn't at the front, but it wasn't so, I've heard of other races where it's like real elbow to elbow and people bumping. And it really wasn't, like that. There was some parts on the course where we'd go onto like a bike path where it got a little more congested. Some people, not to get hard on them, but you know, some people have their headphones in and they're so loud that they just had like no clue as to what was going on around them, you know? And,
that bothers me.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, I've probably done it early on too. I used to crank my headphones. I probably cut people off. So, I mean, who knows? It could have been their first half or something. They're not really sure. I mean, generally the rule is, you know, if you're going to stop, you know, you kind of put your hand up just so people around you and especially behind you know that you're going to stop, you know. But I had some people stop without putting their hands up. So you had to kind of dodge around them or just literally just cut right in front of me. Didn't look behind, couldn't hear me because they had their headphones so loud. But other than that, I mean, the people running the race were super cool. I mean, there's a lot of people, having conversations at times. I really, truly tried to make a point to thank every single, volunteer at like street crossings, whether it was just a volunteer, or if it was a police officer that was there, just because, it's not as big as obviously of like Chicago or New York or Boston, but this is a big, huge event down in Buffalo. And, you know, it takes a lot of people to do this. So for those people to stand out there for, you know, 5-6 hours, making sure that nothing happens, because they had to cross some cars at these streets. So it was very, very well done. Water stations every 2 miles. I did actually use my Nathan's handheld that we talked about last episode. And I wasn't sure if I was going to use it all the way up until the point where we parked in the parking ramp. And I'm glad I did, because we ran with the half marathoners and there were so many people that probably the first 3 water stations, so for like the first 6 miles, if not even more, actually, they got pretty congested and pretty messy. And so I was able to just kind of go by those ones, you know, I didn't have to really worry about it. I was able to take my gels, which I started taking at 4 miles. Every 4 miles I was taking a gel. So I felt like I had enough energy, felt great, beautiful day. If I would have been running the half marathon, I felt so good. I think I could have possibly even beat my last time. But I wasn't, so I was able to kind of dial it back a little bit. But I'd say probably about mile 16 or 17. Yeah, probably about 16 is where my feet started feeling a little heavier than normal. And then I'd say around mile 18, there was a long elevation gain. So there's no big hills on this course. There's just like more of a gradual elevation gain at this place called Delaware Park. And that kind of sucked. That got me. So I ended up catching up to the five hour past that one. I caught up to the 4.5 past them. And then I caught up to the 4:20 pacer. And we started playing a little bit of tag. I passed her. And then I walked through a water station. And another thing with the volunteers, they had a lot of cups already pre-made. They were handing cups out. And what they would do is they would tell you too, like if it's water or Gatorade. And generally it was water first, then Gatorade, but they made it clear to you. So that's cool too. So you're not guessing what you're getting. But people that saw me with my handheld, when I saw the water station coming up, I would take the top off and I would just plan on grabbing cups and filling it. But there would be people with either jugs of water or like pitchers, and they would just come right up to me and just fill it for me. So that was really, that's really pretty cool. Yeah, that made it a lot easier. I did take in, I think, 2 or 3 cups of Gatorade along the way. But it started heating up a little bit, probably by, I don't know, I'd say maybe mile 22, the day started to heat up a little bit, but I felt really good during the race, really good spirits. And from everything I had heard, you know, you kind of have your ups and downs, your highs and lows. And, a lot of people say that the marathon doesn't really start till mile 20, that the first 20 is kind of like your warm up. And, I completely agree with that.
Shit.
Completely agree with it. I felt really good till about mile 20. And that's when I'd say a little bit after that is when not only did I start kind of feeling things in my body, you know, my lower back a little bit was getting a little sore at times where I had to focus on my form, you know, kind of regroup myself. But that's also where the mental aspects started to come into it, because I had heard that. And for the first 20 miles, I was like, what are these people talking about that run? And they're like, oh, it's just like a mental game. Like, I'm fine. This is great. This is the best time of my life. And then it was just like, yeah. Questioning yourself. Am I going to be able to do this? You know, it kind of went through my mind was, because I had said before to you and other people, like, this is going to be the first of hopefully many marathons to do. And at one point I was like, yeah, I don't know if I'm ever going to do another one. And that kind of bummed me out, you know, because I was so excited and worked so hard for it. But, you know, it comes and goes. That kind of went away. And, my wife and kids met me at about mile 23, I think it was, which was completely unexpected. Did we mention the application Glimpse?
No,
I don't know if we did
mention that to you.
Yeah. Well, why don't you explain what that is?
Well, Glimpse, it's an app you can get on your phone. It's a GPS-based app, and you can essentially send out invites via text, and I think you can do it email too, correct?
Yep.
Email. And basically, you set a duration, and then the people that get invited can view your live streaming GPS location as you're moving, as you're running. So that was pretty cool.
You can watch it on your own mobile device, or you can watch it on a PC. Now, you said, and I didn't know this, that you can do, and let me know if this is on the phone or on the PC, but like a Google Street View type of thing.
Yeah, I was on my phone doing it, and when I would click on your, it's basically your, I don't know if it's your Google symbol that it uses, or maybe if you do, you have a picture you can put on here for Glimpse. There's something that ties it to your name.
Yeah, I think you can have a account type of icon or something.
You basically, I was clicking on your little head as it was running on my map, and then it would give me a list of options, one of which was Google Street View. So you could hit the Google Street View button, and it would take you to the Street View. Obviously not the live Street View, but whenever Google had mapped that street, So it was kind of cool because I was seeing where you were and I'd hit the Street View and I'd see you running under the Skyway, I was like, oh, that's cool, It was kind of neat to see.
Yeah, I really enjoy that app. I've used it on some of my long runs, and you can, like you said, you can send it's up to a 4-hour duration, but you can add 15 minutes. So at one point I got my phone out and just hit, add 15 minutes. So I did have my phone with me, but you can also set a destination as well if you want. So I had sent that out to you and my brother who's in North Carolina and a couple other friends, and I had sent it to my wife. And so as she was driving down with our friend Steve's wife, they were trying to meet me somewhere along the course, but because Buffalo had so many streets shut down and there were so many people there, every time they'd say, okay, we're going to try and meet him at this area, by the time they would get there to where they could park, they'd check, and I had already passed that point. So it was kind of a game of chase.
That's funny.
So I had gotten to a point where just before that, I kind of went up to another little incline, and I was just like, all right, I gotta walk for, 20 seconds or whatever. And it's cool because there's so many people along the course from the city of Buffalo that are just cheering you on, lifting up your spirits. Excuse me. And so I got to the top of this little inclined, little hill, and I was just like, oh man. And this lady was like cheering people on, and she could probably see that I was getting a little gassed or something. And she just yells over to me. She's like, you want this, it's in you. It's deep inside you. You want this, go get it. And I was just like, thanks. I didn't say that, but that's how I felt. Like I needed that, and I needed someone to be like, look, what are you doing? Just get going. And so I just, I didn't take off running, but I got back out of the walk and I said, okay, I had enough of a little break. Let's go, and got going. And so there was a lot of that on the course with either spectators that would kind of give you that little boost you needed, that little, tongue lashing to kind of get you going. But there's also, it was amongst runners too. I came up to, are you familiar with the Marathon Maniacs?
No.
It's real quick. And I'm not even sure the specifics, but it's kind of something where you can go online and you can join these groups. There's a half fanatics and there's the Marathon Maniacs. And basically I'm not sure again, of the specifics, but you have to run so many marathons within so many weeks. And you have to prove it with your times and stuff like that. It's got to be, sanctioned runs and everything. And you can become a marathon maniac. I think it's 3 marathons and so, I don't know how many weeks it is. But anyways, I saw a bunch of them out there. They had shirts on that said it. And I came up on a lady and she just started walking and she was with somebody. And I heard her say, go ahead. I don't know if I'm going to do this. And, I'm like, come on, you're a maniac. You can do this. And she said, I got to remember that. And I look and there she started going. So people really could kind of help each other throughout the course. But to get back to my wife and Glimpse, they finally did actually get to meet me at about mile 23. Like I said, completely unexpected. I had just given them the glimpse so they knew where the finish line was. And I definitely needed it at that point. I saw them and they had just got there. My wife was just running up to the corner. So I ran over and got on the sidewalk and my wife was kind of like, you know, what are you doing? You got to go. And I didn't hear my youngest son, but he told me tonight that he was telling me to go because somebody was cutting me, like passing me, you know, my youngest son, Gabriel. So, and I just told him, I said, I need a hug. You know, guys, give me a hug. And they all kind of, we did a big group hug and then that was it. Boom, I was gone. And that, I needed that, you know. So you definitely get to a point, at least I did personally, and I know other people have, where you just start doing those mind games, man. And it's just mind over matter. You just got to kind of dig in and be like, look, I've trained for this. I know I can do this. Okay. So I have a little, you know, discomfort or whatever. It's getting harder, but I got to move on. It'll be over. And if I do this, I'll be, you know, so happy. And if I were to not do it, I couldn't imagine how disappointed I would be if I would have just like, this is too hard, you know, especially after seeing them. How can you see your family and then not finish? So the last 4 miles were definitely tough, but better after I saw them. I did get a hamstring cramp shortly after, which I've never had that. I don't know if you've ever had cramps like that. That sucked.
Yeah, I've had some calf cramps before running, but not a hamstring, no.
Yeah, that definitely did not feel well. I had to step off onto the grass and just stretch it out. And once I did, I felt fine. And the rest was just, let's get this done. So I got to mile 26. That point two was long. Like it felt forever. But dude, the coolest thing is there's another podcast called Discover Ultra. And the host's name is Patrick Krott, and he is an ultra runner. And I saw him in the morning. He wasn't running, but I think his girlfriend ended up was running the marathon. And as I was running up where it was all fenced off, I saw him standing there and I just ran over to him and I was like, what's going on, man? I love the podcast. And he shook my hand, gave me a big smile. And I don't remember what he said, but that was definitely kind of a cool way to end it. And then I just ran it in and I was thankful it was over, but then it was kind of like, you know, you want something to happen so bad and then it's done. You right. know what I mean? Like yep. a kid for Christmas, you can't wait for Christmas. And then after everything's unwrapped, you're like, I got to wait a year. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. You're hoping for the big bang at the end and you're done. And you kind of like, wow, that just happened. That's it.
Yeah. But it was definitely awesome. Our buddy Steve was there. He actually taped me, recorded me coming in. So I was able to watch that. They have this thing, I forget what it's called, like photo finish or marathon photo or something like that. They have photographers like through the entire course. And they're just sitting on the street with these giant like cameras you'd see at football games. And then I get an email like a couple hours later saying that your pictures are available. And there's like, you know, they trying to sell you marathon pictures and they're super, super expensive. And I learned that I need to, my left hand is always like I'm doing a doggy paddle or something when I run. So I got to work on that because it does not make for a good photo, but there's a couple good ones. And I admit I did purchase one. My wife was like, look, it's your first marathon, you know, just grab one. So, that'll be coming in a couple weeks, but yeah, that's, kind of in a short nutshell, not really, but the Buffalo Marathon 2015, what I had been waiting to do, what I'm so happy that I did. It was totally worth getting up at 4 a.m, you know, doing the runs and stuff like that. So totally happy that I did it. And there's a marathon in November that I'm looking forward to. That one, I think I definitely have time to train for more. There's some stuff I need to do. One thing I need to do that I'm going to have help from you Because you've done a lot of strength training. Is strength training. I need to do that. I know that I need to do some core strength training and just overall body strength training now, because I think that had a little bit to do with some of the soreness in my back I was having with my form. So you said you would help me out with that. I'll definitely do Buffalo again next year, without a doubt. As long as I'm healthy, I will definitely do that run. But I'm looking, my sights are on November now, and hopefully I can come in around 4:15 or less. But so how about you? I mean, like I said, I'm never going to pressure you to be like, you got to do it. Cause I don't think anybody should do a race of any kind if they don't really want to do it. But just being at the expo and talking with me, cause we had a picnic at your house that night. What are your thoughts on November? Are you considering it, or you just kind of taking it day by day?
I'm definitely considering it. I mean, having your story and, going through the preparations for the Buffalo with you, it's kind of opened my eyes up a little bit on the possibility of doing it and the fact that I very well could do it, you know? So I don't know. I'm leaning towards it, but I'm not gonna commit just yet. There's right. Plenty of time, so that's one thing we got going, I think.
Well, I mean, and this is seriously, it's not trying to persuade you either way, but I mean, you totally can do it. You know what I mean? It's just a matter of if you want to put the time into to prepare to do it. There's not a question of whether or not you can do it. I guess it would be more of, how much do you want to prepare to do it, and how much do you want to struggle if you don't really do the preparation? You know what I mean? So, but yeah, I mean, if you decided that you wanted, tackle that in November, you were there to help me with my long runs. I'll definitely help you in any way that you I can possibly to help you prepare for that. And if not, you're just going to have to meet me at 6 a.m. again for my long runs.
Sounds good.
So, that's about it. I will say that like I mentioned, we went to your house for a picnic. We normally are the ones that have the Memorial Day picnic, but you and your wife, Terry, were gracious enough to take that on, knowing that there was probably no way I was really going to be able to prepare for a picnic while I'm running a marathon.
We figured you'd be out of commission.
Yeah. I don't think it was too bad.
No, I was surprised.
I did, when I got home that day, I did do the on all fours going upstairs and then going on my butt to go down the stairs for the first day. Like, I couldn't walk up or down the stairs like normal. I mean, I probably could have, but it was very, very uncomfortable. And it's weird how over the next couple days, how my body felt different every day. For the most part, I came out pretty unscathed. I have two nasty sized blisters on my toes. But other than that, I mean, it's just, I'm sore. I ran 26 miles. The first day it was more the joints were kind of sore. And I think I even said to you, like, man, my muscles feel great. I don't have any muscle discomfort. And the next morning when I got up, I was like, yeah. There's the muscle discomfort. So it's like every day it kind of changed. But I've been trying to be more active. I went for a walk with my wife yesterday, just for a short walk with the dog. And I actually ran a mile today after work just to kind of basically do like a reverse taper and back into running. My mind is going crazy already. Like, I want to get out there and run, but I know I can't just jump out there and do 5-6 miles. So I kind of got to ease into it. So I'm just, taking it slow to get back in. We're going to kind of wrap it up now, but, one last thing I did want to mention is, to kind of close out my, I guess you'd say, marathon weekend. I took yesterday off. I knew I wanted to recuperate a little bit more, but I also was lucky enough to be the guest on another podcast. I was on the Diz Runs With podcast with Denny Cray, an amazing podcast, something I've been listening to for a while now, never thinking that I'd ever be on it. I mean, it's funny. I was thinking about that today. I'm like, wow, I was just on the Diz Runs podcast. I was the guest on there. I'm hoping that I represented the average runner well over there. So that should be out in a couple weeks, he said. I'll put a link to his show. But if you haven't listened to Diz Runs with podcast, it's definitely a great show. He's interviewed so many amazing people. Bart Yasso is one of them. I think it was like episode 3 or 4 he interviews him. So, and ultra runners and people of such high caliber that I was so nervous because I was like, how can I be on this show where all these people are on there? So, but, you know, like he said, a lot of listeners for his show are people like you and I that are just normal people trying to get our runs in and progress as runners. So it was really awesome, and I thank him for letting me come on there and talk about our show and talk about myself and how with a family and work life and busy schedule still get the runs in and stuff. So it was a really good time, and I'll put links to that. So I don't know. You got anything else, Jason? I apologize. I feel like it was the Sean show today, but I mean, this was a big deal. So I wanted to kind of cover this.
I think it was good. We had something big that you accomplished that we had to recap. So I think it went well. You know, this is a good show for you.
Yeah. So documenting the end of that journey and hopefully many more. We'll see what happens. What I can try and tackle next year. Like I said earlier, I'm trying to think of what I can try to accomplish that is reasonable before I get to a point where it's not feasible, which hopefully isn't for a long time. There's no reason why, you know, either one of us can't be running for a long time. So, we're just gonna wrap up this episode. Please, if you enjoy the show, if you could head over to iTunes, search out the Average Runner Podcast, give us a review. We would really appreciate that. Just helps other people find our podcast as we get more ratings. So that would be really good. If you have any feedback, you have a question, a comment, a story of your own you want to get to us, you can send us an email at theaveragerunnerpodcast@gmail.com. So that is going to wrap up this episode. So until next time, thanks for listening.